Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the good news that sets your people free. That we're here gathering this morning as a free people. And maybe for some of us, hungering for that freedom. Lord, you have freedom for every one of us today. You have hope for every heart today. And thank you for this amazing hope that we have in the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you came to seek and save the lost. Thank you that. Thank you that we are no longer lost. We've been found. Now, Lord, open our ears and our hearts to your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've been excited for today. And sometimes I get a little anxious, actually, about Easter. And not just Easter, but kind of the formal Christian Sundays. Christmas time, where we can tend to get into this just kind of like traditionalism. We're going through the motions and, you know, we're more anxious to get on to the family things than we really are to meet with God. And so I can kind of go, oh God, I want to meet with you, not just go through religious motions or preach the right text that I'm supposed to preach this time of the year. But I have to tell you, I've been really excited about preaching from Mark 16 today. And you're all going to know the context because Jesus has been crucified. He's been executed. But as we talked about last week, and if you weren't here, you can listen to the podcast or you could read your Bible and you'll find it in here too, that Jesus promised time and time again, when we go up to Jerusalem, I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be killed, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And he kept saying, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise again. But no one knew what he meant. His closest disciples didn't know what he meant. Like, he's speaking something about this. What does he mean by this? He's going to die and rise again. That can't be real. He's the Messiah. But as we know, he did die. And his disciples are lost. What now? What next? Now let's read in Mark 16. We're going to read the first 8 verses. It's kind of a strange ending point. When the Sabbath was passed, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. That's what will be on the screen. If you're reading something else, it'll read similarly. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, that doesn't sound like a great response, does it? They've just heard the good news that Jesus is alive. And they're afraid. Now, if you read Matthew and Luke and John, they fill in the gaps for us wonderfully. And you find out that, they said nothing because they were afraid. But very quickly, they got over their fear. And then they began to talk. And they tell the disciples. And at first, the disciples don't believe them either. But James and John come running. And they come and they check it out. And John believes immediately. And they're starting to realize, oh, this is what happened. But when these women come to the tomb, they're not expecting anything supernatural. And the question is, are you? We're talking about the story of the resurrection of Jesus. But did you come today because it's Easter Sunday, and or maybe just because it's Sunday and this is what we do? We get together and we worship together. Or did you come expecting something supernatural? This isn't meant as a guilt trip right now, because you're thinking, well, I don't know, I'm thinking about Easter dinner that's coming up. I'm hoping that ham is maybe a little supernatural. Thinking, we got some good things coming, right? This isn't saying, oh gosh, you've already completely blown it. It's Easter Sunday and you weren't expecting anything? What kind of Christians are you? No, that's not the point. But I want to challenge you. God has plans for us. He has plans for your heart today. He's going to speak life into you. He's going to speak supernaturally into your heart today. And maybe you just came thinking you were going to go through some motions. God has other plans. These women came to honor the dead. They came to say goodbye, probably to shed tears of grief and maybe find some closure, and to honor the man that they had followed, that they had trusted, that they had believed. They came to say goodbye, but God had better plans. And he has better plans for you. The news we hear today just might change our plans for life. Isn't it interesting, the very first thing that is said in this dialogue? They're talking to one another, right? Who's going to roll away the stone? They're expecting to find a dead Jesus. Who's going to roll away the stone for us? We've got to anoint his body, prepare him. But the first words that the angel says to them is, do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed. And then he goes on. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. The very first thing that the gospel does for us, the good news that Jesus has beaten the grave. He has beaten the power of sin. The very first thing that this good news does for us before anything else happens, as it begins to change our hearts. The angel says to them, do not be afraid. Now, the women are probably afraid because they've just walked into a cave or a tomb expecting to find a dead man, and instead they find an alive man. And not the one they were looking for. I don't care who you are. You walk in expecting to find one dead person and you find another live person in the room. You're going to be like, gah! That's going to happen, right? My daughter's, Michaela, that happens when I walk around a corner and she doesn't know I'm coming. I just walk around the corner and she's just, ah! Okay? It's scary. Scary. Imagine me in the dark, silhouette. Beauty and the Beast, right? Okay. But he says, his angel says to them, do not be afraid. Why? Because they are afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's risen and he's not here. Now, the last verse we read said, they said nothing to anyone at first because they're still afraid. Even the news that Jesus is alive can accompany feelings of fear at first. I'll tell you what, if your life is not in order and you know you're not living according to God's plan for your life, the news that Jesus is alive and well and what he says matters can be a little terrifying. Yeah? It'd be a lot easier to do whatever I wanted to do and live my life the way I want to live my life if Jesus is dead and I can just do whatever. But he's not. He's alive. Guys, have the beginnings of good news ever made you a little bit afraid? I remember the first time when I heard I got to go visit Dubai. And I'm going to go to the United Arab Emirates, having never set foot in the Middle East. And I was kind of like, wow. I've heard so many stories and I've seen so many pictures. And I've heard about God moving in the Middle East. But at the same time, I was a little bit scared to set foot as a Christian pastor into a Muslim nation. And the good news was really good news. I was going to get to meet with other Christian leaders from around the world. And we were going to worship together, build friendships, build links to see how we can strengthen the church around the nations. That's good news. Churches that are moving in the power of God. It's just that I have to go into the middle of a world that in my brain is maybe hostile to me. And I was hearing good news, but I was also a little scared, to be honest, a little scared. The women were afraid as well. Now, the end of that story is had a fantastic time in Dubai. The United Arab Emirates was wonderful. They took care of us really well. We worshiped openly. We worshiped freely. And I found out that there's great things going on in the UAE. Just, I wanted to put that in there. But these women were afraid at first. They're hearing this good news, but they're scared. If he's really the Messiah, if he's really the Son of God, and he died, but death could not hold him, then all of a sudden, everything he said matters. And everything he promised, which we'll get to more in a little bit, matters. And we have to come to grips with the fact that when Jesus said, I'm going to rise again from the dead, and he said things like, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If he actually beat death and he's alive, then we have to factor that into our lives. Guys, he is alive. It's why we celebrate. It's why Christians celebrate around the world, especially today, because he is alive. He has beaten the power of sin and death and hell. So what do we do with that? The next thing the angel says to these women is this, but go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. The gospel, once it's gotten a hold of our hearts, changes our heading. It changes the very direction of our lives. They came to anoint the dead, and they walk out with a mission to go and tell. Go and tell. I love that he says, go and tell the disciples and Peter. What are the disciples doing? They're grieving. They're confused. They're afraid, just like the ladies are afraid. They're afraid. They've stood up and said, yeah, we follow this Messiah. And now all of a sudden this Messiah has been killed. Now what? Are we next? Go and tell who? The disciples and Peter. Tell those who are grieving. Guys, the news is for those who are grieving. Tell those who feel lost and broken and confused. Tell those who heard Jesus' teaching, even about the resurrection, but who are living like he's dead. I think a lot of times this is right in the church, right? This is the disciples and Peter. They heard, I'm going to rise again on the third day. But they're living like he's not. Tell those who've abandoned Jesus. That's the disciples. Every one of them ran. And who feel guilty and ashamed. Are you carrying any of that today? Maybe you feel like, man, I'm kind of there. I've started out with Jesus, but I abandoned him. I've walked away. I feel guilty. I feel ashamed. I know I've fallen short. That's the disciples. Especially Peter. Peter needed to hear the good news. And the angel says, tell the disciples and Peter. Peter actually cursed him. Tell those who have cursed him and themselves, denying anything to do with Jesus. This is who the women are instructed to go and tell. What a list. The grieving, the lost, the broken, the confused, living like Jesus is dead, who feel guilty and ashamed because we've abandoned Jesus. We've cursed him. We've cursed ourselves. And the good news goes to those people first. Guys, this is good news. No, I guarantee you, none of you have gone any farther than Peter. This is good news. You are not disqualified from this good news. He's like, I started out with Jesus and I blew it. John, you don't know me. You don't know what's deep in my heart. You don't know. That's okay. Jesus knows. God knows. And the message, the good news is go and tell those people. That's you. That's me. This is for us. And it's for our friends. Who do we start with this? The Marys, as they're being given this commission to go and tell the disciples and Peter. They've been traveling together. These are people that they're close with. They're the people that they know. This goes one another. We need to hear this from one another. We need to be reminded of the good news, guys. We need to remind each other, you haven't fallen so far that God can't pull you back. We need to be reminded. And not just that we haven't fallen so far, but that we have good news that those around us need to hear. Guys, you have it. You have the best news on the planet. There is no better news than you were lost. Jesus took your sin upon himself. He carried it upon himself. He took your full punishment. He took even your death, your separation from God. He took it all upon himself. And then to prove that he had really done it, he rose again from the dead victorious, bringing freedom to all who will believe. This is the best news. It's amazing. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it changes our hearts from being fearful hearts to having a purpose. Changes our heading from come and grieve to go and tell. It's beautiful. And the third thing I want to hit today, the gospel changes our hope. It changes our hope. The very way that we put our hope in God doesn't say, if you do all of, you know, fill in the blank, then maybe Jesus will take you back. What he says to these women, go and tell the disciples he's risen. And then it says, he is going before you to Galilee. And it says, there you will see him just as he told you. Our hope isn't in just anything that we could do. Our hope is this. Jesus is going before us. Jesus has gone before us. Our hope is in this risen Christ, Jesus our Lord, who's conquered sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says this, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory through him. And our hope is in him, the God who is going before us. He rose again from the dead, and now he is leading the way. He is going before you. I don't think I could say that enough times today. He's alive and he's leading the way. He's not just alive, he's alive and leading. He's leading, he's giving direction to our lives, he's leading the way forward for us. And ultimately, when I say he has gone before us, listen to what he says in John 14. I'm reading verse 2 and verse 6. It says, before he died and rose again, Jesus says this to his disciples, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Now, some of his disciples jump in there and they say, essentially, no, we don't. What? What do you mean we know the way? Here's what he says in verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, says Jesus. So not only is he leading the way, he is the way. We're putting our hope in him, the way. So he's alive. He's leading the way. He's alive. He has gone before us. He's alive. And he's going to bless our faith and our obedience. He's going to bless it. What does he say? Tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Just as he told you. Remember, guys? Remember? There you will see him. Here's what's amazing. Okay, I like Mark. Mark is the first of the four gospels that was written. And Matthew and Luke drew from Mark, but they also probably drew from other sources because there were a lot of people that were alive And they're drawing in, like, we got to record these things. We got to get this written down. This is so good. But Mark comes first. And he's just kind of really gritty. And he's to the point. And he doesn't fill in all the details. The other gospel writers fill in the details for us. So the instruction that the angel gave was, tell him Jesus is going before you to Galilee, and there you're going to see him. When the women come to tell the disciples this good news, they don't believe the women. Do you know where Jesus actually meets these guys first? Not in Galilee. He meets them right in the room where they're hiding. Their instruction was, he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and you're going to see him there just as he told you. Guys, Jesus is even bigger than our unbelief. He's bigger than our failings. He's alive and he's leading the way, but he's so faithful when we are so not, to come back and say, hey, yeah, it's me. I'm alive. And then they go to Galilee. It's so crazy. I love the raw failings of the disciples. Not because I just rejoice in their failings, but I just go, there's hope for all of us. There's hope for all of us. It's not just that when I am so good and my faith is so strong and my obedience is like, yeah. And I go, yeah, now Jesus has to come through for me. You promised that you were going to show yourself to me because I came to Galilee just like you said. Jesus shows up before they ever obey. Now, that's not an excuse for disobedience. What I'm making a point of is the gospel changes our hope from how good we can obey to how good Jesus is. Our hope is in him. He's alive and he will fulfill his promise just as he told you. The words of Jesus that we have all through scripture, his promises, what he said he was going to do, what he was going to accomplish, he's going to fulfill his promise. If he hadn't risen again from the dead, we'd be hopeless. But he did. He's alive. Therefore, everything he's promised, we can count on. When he said he's going to prepare a place for us and he's going to bring us to himself, you can count on it. You can count on it. He came to seek and save the lost. And as lost as you may feel, you can count on it. He came to save the lost. And he's going to do it. So what do we do with this? Guys, Jesus is here to awaken our hearts. I wrote it down this way. He's here to awaken our fearful hearts to his life. He's here to change our heading from come and grieve to go and tell. And he's here to root our hope into the resurrection of Jesus. And into him, into the resurrected Christ. You know that old song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, right? Nothing less than him, his blood, his righteousness. We need this rooted into our hearts, deeply into our hearts. If your hope is rooted in anything else, anything else other than his sacrifice, his completed work, his righteousness secured on your behalf, if it's rooted into anything else, that's weak ground. But he is unshaking. unshaken ground. So here's the question. Will you dare to respond to this good news and his call? Will you dare to respond to that today? To live like he's alive and to follow this risen Jesus. To live like he is alive and he's leading you. You may have been a Christian for decades. He's still leading you. We don't just rest on, I prayed a prayer one day. I said yes to Jesus one day. No, you say yes to Jesus today. He has plans for your life. He wants to lead you forward, or he would have taken you to heaven already. Will you dare to trust his voice today? These women heard his voice through an angel. We hear his voice right here in the pages of Scripture. Will you dare to trust his voice to you? His call to follow him? Not just believe, but follow. To let him lead. And just one more time, I want to remind you of this. In responding to this call to follow him, this is where we see him. We see him when we let him lead. Even if you don't physically see, you know, wow, I said yes to Jesus today and I did not see him at Grace Church Spokane. That's not what I'm saying. Although one day we will see him face to face. 1 Corinthians 13:12. One day you'll see him face to face. But when we respond to him, even now in all kinds of ways, we see him. We see his work. We see him at work in the lives of those around us. We see what he's doing. His word says you and we are the body of Christ in the earth. And we see him when we let him lead and we say, okay, God, we're yours. We're your people. Have your way. Let's just bow our heads. Jesus, thank you that you speak life to fearful hearts. You speak your word to fearful hearts. And you change our hearts. I know right now you're speaking to our hearts. You're even speaking right to that fear, saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Thank you. We just receive your word to us. Do not be afraid. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Lord, you've risen. You're alive and you're leading. So here we are, Jesus. We're just saying, lead us. Lead us. We're receiving that word to our hearts that you have direction for our lives. Wherever that Galilee is for us and whatever that means in our lives today, you want to lead us forward in faith. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't called us to root our hope into how good we can be for you. Although, Lord, we long for our lives to honor you. We long for our lives to bring glory to you. But you root that into how amazing you have been for us.